Lord, my heart's desire in this message is that you, Heavenly Father, would send your Spirit and fill us. Fill me that I might speak your words now, but fill us all that we would speak your words this Christmas season. And we ask this because of Jesus, the Redeemer, the Savior, who enables us to serve you. Thank you for him. In his name we pray. Amen. It's that Christmas kind of season time, and I imagine for many here, you've got a Christmas work due or something like that coming up over the next couple of weeks, or maybe you've already had it. And I remember when I was at Ricardo, an engineering firm that I used to work to along in Shoreham, we used to have work dues. In fact, we used to get the Hilton Hotel for our work dues, which was a great venue. And sometimes we'd have a kind of whole company work due and then a little kind of local department work due. So this time of year, there was always lots of Christmas parties. And I imagine for many here, there's no exception. Perhaps like me, you often know those times could be quite drunken affairs. A lot of people drinking a lot of alcohol. And I discovered, wonderfully, that actually you don't need to get drunk to have a good time at a Christmas party. Actually, I found that some of the best conversations I had with my colleagues were at Christmas do's, as I sat around over a meal, chatting to them and having fun. So here's just a little word aside, like John Bailey did. If you've got a Christmas party, don't overdrink. Don't do something that you'll regret in the days ahead. Don't dishonor the Lord, but rather see the opportunity as a great time to be a light and a witness for Jesus Christ. Get into conversations about what this Christmas season is all about. Do what John was saying and invite someone to those carol services, and you'll be amazed, I think, at what God can do. But why Christmas parties? Well, Christmas parties are a time when actually often there's excessive drinking, and in our culture, this is a big problem. You know, we've hear about the binge drinking, and if you go out in Brighton on and almost any evening, you can often see people who are just absolutely hammered, plastered, if you like. They've just under the influence. And even the Queen's speech referred to it. She didn't kind of refer to being hammered or plastered, but she did talk about the excessive drinking and the problem in our culture and how the government was going to try and address this. But we all know, don't we, that as people get under the influence of alcohol, it affects their behavior, it affects their speech, affects their lives. We've seen it, haven't we, around us? And in fact, it's an illustration that's used of being filled with the Spirit in the Bible, a comparison of it says, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, Paul writes, but be filled with the Spirit. And the comparison is this, that actually just like with alcohol, it affects you, you become under the influence of it. In the same way, let the Holy Spirit be what you're under the influence of, and let things spill out of your life because you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. In this passage, I want us to see two things, what we're filled with and how we overflow. So there's an overflowing and there's a filling, because you can often tell what something is filled by what overflows. So you don't know what's in either of these. And imagine you didn't see what was just going to take place now, the pouring bit. But imagine you didn't know what was in either of these and you see it. When it overflows, it was water that it was being filled with. You know it because you saw it overflowed. But what about this? Hope there's enough in here. Something else. You see, what you fill it with, actually that will be the thing that it gets overflowed by and spills out. And in fact, in both these things, what also just happens is you notice when something's filled with something, if it gets knocked, it overflows with it. And actually in your life, there'll be knocks that come your way and there'll be things that overflow out of your life, and those will reveal what your life has been filled with. So I wonder, are you full? Are you full of the Holy Spirit? And what does that mean? And what happens? What overflows out of your life when you are filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, let's look here at Luke 1:67, and I want you to see that, firstly, the overflowing. See, firstly, the overflowing. And what I've got here is speaking God's words, because it says in verse 67 that Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied. He prophesied. He spoke God's word. And I think we can sometimes get into a bit of a panic when we see the word prophecy. We think, oh, that's quite a special word. Oh, that's something okay for Zechariah, but that can't be anything relevant to me. And what is prophecy after all? And blah, blah, blah. And just look with me at what prophecy is here in this verse. Look firstly how prophecy, that the words that overflow out of Zechariah's life are words that point to Jesus Christ. So it's words that point to Jesus Christ. It says this: praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He's not talking about his son, John the Baptist. He's talking about Jesus. And prophecy and words that spill out of those that are filled with the Spirit are words that point to Jesus. Words that point to the one who's come to save, the one who is the Redeemer, the Savior, the enabler of men and women. And I want to, this morning, point you to Jesus and say he's the one we've been singing about. He's the one that Christmas is about. He's the one who can set you free, who can forgive your sins, who can cleanse you, who can help you. Jesus is the one that you and I need. And prophecy, or people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, point to Jesus Christ. Point to words that will point others to him. So, also interesting that not just does he point about to words about Jesus, but he actually uses words from God in this passage. So, look in verse 70. He's been talking about Jesus and the Messiah who's going to come. And he says this: as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. And I think sometimes you and I think, well, prophecy, that's kind of saying new stuff about God or about people that no one's ever heard before. And actually, that's not what really a lot of the prophetic is about. A lot of the prophetic is saying stuff that God's already said into specific context. It's taking God's word and bringing it as a now word for today. And this Zechariah, this prophet, comes and he brings God's word from the Old Testament. He brings it for today. And you and I can do that, can't we? I look around and most of you have got this wonderful book in your hand. This book of God's words that you and I can bring to others. God's now word, forever word, into the lives of others, men and women. So it's not just words that point to Jesus, but it's words that we've heard from God. Verse 70, and even if you look at this prophecy of Zechariah, a lot of it's from the Old Testament, straight out of different bits of the Old Testament, but a lot of it too, when you get to like verse 76, you might think, oh, well, here's the bit that was really prophetic. Verse 76, when he says, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God. And you might think, wow, that's amazing, fresh, new revelation that that Zechariah's got. But actually, this is all stuff that he was told by the angel a few chapters earlier. The angel came to him and said almost very similar things, that his son would go on to prepare the way for the Lord and to turn people's hearts back to God. So again, it's stuff that he's heard from God. And you and I, we mustn't get afraid by this word prophecy. Actually, we're to be those that bring God's word into the lives of men and women around us. And you know, we're not going to be the ones who save them. John the Baptist wasn't the one who saved people, but he brought them, I love this little phrase, to a knowledge of salvation. You and I can be those that bring people to a knowledge of salvation and of the forgiveness of their sins. And maybe you're here and you didn't know that your sins could be forgiven. You've come here maybe with a burden of guilt. And even today, I want to bring that word that says you can have forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, through what he's done for you. So Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and he spoke. He spoke words. And in fact, there's a real connection between our words and God. There's a real connection between our words and breath. There's a connection between the Spirit and the Word in the Bible. It's a very, very close connection. I want you, just while I'm having a sip of water, just think, can you speak without letting any breath come out of your mouth. Just have a little try. Just see whether you think, how close is the connection? Is it possible to, you know, to speak without actually letting any breath through your mouth? There you go. Just have a moment. Not hearing much. Maybe that's because it's actually quite difficult to speak without actually using your breath. And in fact, if you know anything about vocal cords, not sure if we've got some of the doctors who come along here sometimes here, but this is a picture of your vocal cords. And I was reading up a bit about this, and I found this that was written. It said they're composed of twin infoldings of mucous membranes stretched horizontally across the larynx, and they vibrate, modulating the flow of air being expelled from the lungs. So actually, to work, they need this airflow coming through them. And in the Bible, word and spirit are often linked as well, because it talks about the spirit of God, or the ruach, the breath of God going out. But the breath of God inspires the word of God, and the word of God releases the spirit of God. And so the two are almost very hard to separate. And in fact, some of the big problems, I think, in churches have been where people have separated word and spirit. But actually, the word and spirit come marvelously together. And if we're to be people who are overflowing with the spirit in our lives, we actually need to be people who are overflowing with God's word. And as I got into this, I actually got quite excited. I did a kind of whistle-stop tour through Acts in the Bible. And I want you to kind of come here with me and see some of these passages and just see the connection between being filled with the Spirit and speaking. Because so often people are filled and they speak in different ways. And I'm going to be praying that God's going to fill us afresh with His Spirit today. And that in this service, some people here, I'm praying, are going to speak out words for the church. And there'll be opportunity to do that at the end of the service. And I'm going to be praying that we go and speak words at your work Christmas do. And you speak words to your family. Because I tell you what, I reckon that people around you, more than they need a Christmas card, more than they need a Christmas present, they need a word from God. Your children, they need to hear a word from God from you. And I believe God can do that in and through you. As He fills you, He'll do that. Just look at some of these passages in Acts with me. In Acts chapter 2, it says this. Acts 2, Acts is on page in those Bibles you were given. It's page 1093. In Acts 2, 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. That's right. This is going to be some audience participation. And they spoke in tongues as the Spirit enabled them to. But look down then at verse 17 and 18. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on your people. Your sons and daughters will, what's the word? Prophesy. That's right. And again, it says, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Verse 18. Look down at Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said. What about Acts 4, verse 31? After they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. What about Acts 7, 51? This is slightly different. You stiff-necked people, you uncircumcised hearts and ears. You are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Interesting that you could resist the Holy Spirit with your ears. Because word and spirit, they're so linked. Or what about what happens when Stephen is filled with the Holy Spirit? It says in verse 55 and 56, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Lord. Look, he said, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Wasn't it enough for him just to see it? No, the Spirit came upon him and he spoke it too in amazing ways. What about Acts 10, 44? 46. When Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Spirit were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking You get the sense, in tongues and praising God. And what I see here is a hallmark of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking. It's speaking sometimes in prayer, sometimes in praise, sometimes in proclamation of the gospel, sometimes in the prophetic and words of prophecy. It's sometimes in languages that everyone can understand. It's sometimes in a language that's a new language, but that some people from different nationalities can understand. And sometimes it's in tongues in a heavenly language. But there's speaking. There's something that happens when God's Spirit fills you that overflows in the Word of God coming out. Why? Because God's Spirit is a Word that's pointing people to God. It's a Spirit of revelation. It's a Spirit that's pointing people to Jesus. And so the Spirit comes upon Mary and the Word becomes flesh and takes on human form because the Spirit is a Word that's revealing. And so are you filled with the Spirit? Well, are you revealing and pointing people to God? Are you speaking the words of God? Are they flowing out of your mouth? Billy Graham found this book, and Graham and Margaret's. He talks about the Holy Spirit, and he says this: there's a glorious unity which exists between the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. On the day of Pentecost, Peter illustrated this in quoting from the Old Testament. He said this: "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This refers to the promised Spirit. That refers to the written word. This is that shows the wonderful unity that exists between the Spirit and the Word of God. These things come together. So, does God want to speak through you to those around you? Yes! An emphatic yes this Christmas. He wants to bring a word to others through you, and that's why he wants you to be filled. In fact, in that famous passage in Ephesians 5, which we already referred to, where it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another. Wow, that moved quite quickly into speed, didn't it? Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to God, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see this close connection between being filled with the Spirit and speaking out to those around us. So you might say, well, that's all very well, David, and I really want to be able to bring a word to my son from God this Christmas and a word to my colleague from God this Christmas, but how do I know what to say? How am I going to know what to say? Well, that's then the second and final point about being filled. We need to be filled before we overflow. We need to hear before we speak, hearing God's words. Hearing God's words. Are you in a place where you can hear God's word? Look at Zechariah again, back in Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Zechariah, it says, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Now, Zechariah was a priest, knew God's word. He'd been chosen by God to have this angel come and give him a message. And when the angel had come and spoken an amazing message about his family and the future, and you've got to get how big a deal this was. There'd basically been no kind of prophecy or word from God for about 300 years. And then suddenly this angel comes to Zechariah, and you can imagine all of heaven crowding round in excitement and anticipation. Wow, this is it. This is the time has come. And the angel comes to Zechariah, and Zechariah says, I don't believe it. I'm too old. My wife's too old. God can't work through us. This is not going to happen. And although he hears it, he doesn't receive it. He doesn't receive it. He doesn't believe it. And actually, if we're to hear properly, we need to obey and believe and receive. If my daughter hears me say something and doesn't do it, I say, no, you didn't hear me. Da-da-dum. We actually, to hear properly, we need to receive and obey. And it's interesting that because he can't, Zechariah doesn't actually receive that word, what happens? He can't speak. He can't speak because he didn't receive by faith that word. And when he does, when he gets to the point of saying, yeah, I believe it, his name will be John, what happens? He's released to speak. And in the same way, you and I, if we're not to be blockages for God's overflowing in our lives, we need to receive by faith and be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's wonderful things that we could get into in this Christmas story, and I'm not even going to have a chance to get into them all, but just look at Luke 1:15 with me. See what you make of this verse. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. This is when the angel comes to Zechariah. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. You ever thought about that? What was it like for John the Baptist? What did it mean for John the Baptist to be filled with the Spirit even from birth? Well, I'm not sure I know all the answers to that. I'd encourage you to go away and think about it. But I think maybe it was that actually right from birth, he was around people who were speaking God's words into his heart and he believed them. He believed the words that people spoke to him about his future. And so the end of our passage, it says he grew up and became strong in spirit and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. He was a man who had taken hold even at a young age of God's word and of God's truth. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe this connection between God's Spirit and God's Word is paramount right from conversion in our lives. I believe that, again, like Billy Graham, that you can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. And that when you're a Christian, what happens is you believe the good news, the gospel that Jesus saves, and you receive the gospel, and you receive that Word of God, and what happens in your life is that the Spirit then comes to mark that and seal that. And so, like in Ephesians 1, it says this, and you also were included into Christ when you heard the word of faith, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So when you believe, when you receive the gospel, when you receive that word by faith, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. There's a sense of him coming and taking hold of your life in some way and being present within you. But in my life and in your life, I know there will be times when you also have received afresh by faith, maybe a truth that you've known but you've not really taken hold of, or something's happened. You've said, no, I believe that fully, that God loves you, that he's with you, that he's for you, that his grace is sufficient. And you take that by faith. And those can be moments when actually you experience again a fresh filling. I know in my life, times when I've stepped, as it were, again strongly onto God's word, and I've almost felt overwhelmed by his love or overwhelmed by his grace. Those are times that I would refer to in my life as being freshly filled with God's Spirit. And that verse in Ephesians 5 where it says about be filled is a command, but it's a continuous command. Be filled and go on being filled. So yes, something happens at your conversion, but you and I need to be filled continually with the Holy Spirit if we're to be effective and overflowing for the kingdom of God and for all that he wants of us. So I ask you again this morning, are you full? Are you full of the Holy Spirit? It's an imperative. God's saying, be filled. Maybe I could put it like this. Is there some things from God's word, something about who God is, who Jesus is, some promise that you've got in your life and you're holding on to it so tightly, so full in your life now that you know if someone bumped into you, it'd spill out about how and who Jesus is, what he's done for you? Is there something like that? Or actually, if someone bumped into you, say, hey, stop shoving me. Have you got hold of God's word? I love the prophet Jeremiah who said this, when your words came, I ate them, and they were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. Maybe you just need to get again afresh the wonder of this book that you've got in your hands this Christmas. You cannot get a better gift than the gift of God's Son and God's Spirit and God's Word that you have access to free. You cannot put in the hands of others around you a better gift than this. May his words come to you and you eat them and they be your joy and your heart's delight. But you know, there are things in our lives that become hindrances to us being filled with the Spirit. There's sin, there's doubts, there's fears, and there's things that can become blockages. I've actually just got a few of them up here. Doubt, fear, inadequacy. I think these are big things that can block people being filled with the Spirit. And in fact, they're things that God would love to address in your life today so that they don't become blockages to you being filled with the Holy Spirit. Other than kind of unconfessed sin, and we'll have a time at the end where you can just in your own before God, make sure you're right before Him and repent. But I think other than that, these three things are big blockages to our actually being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to just, in looking at these, turn you to Luke chapter 11. So a bit on in Luke. I know we're jumping around a bit more than we usually do, but it's good for us. It's get this word in our hands. Well-known passage, Jesus teaching on prayer. So on us, speaking to God. Here's a question. Do we need the Spirit to pray, or do we pray to receive the Spirit? Both. Word and Spirit. They're so closely linked. We actually need to receive and breathe out. It's all connected. It says this. Jesus says famous words, ask and it will be given to you. This is verse 9. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. So some people here might doubt that if you ask for the Holy Spirit, that Jesus will actually give it to you. The Father will give it to you. And this verse says 6 times, don't doubt. Because if you ask, you'll receive, it says. Ask and you'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. So that's 3 times. And then it says it again. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him the door knocks, the door will be open. So you've got like 6 emphatic words there from God saying, ask, I'll give it. Because we do. We doubt, don't we, that he really will. Sometimes, though, we fear. We fear, well, do I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Will it mess my life up? Will it ruin my fun at the Christmas party? Well, no, because the Holy Spirit is a good gift. And actually, all God's gifts are good. And so, again, you know, it addresses it here. Which of your fathers, in verse 11, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So don't fear that it's going to be a bad thing. He's our Father in heaven. He loves to give us good gifts. Don't fear. This is good. He wants to fill you with his Spirit. Even maybe that's just a word for you today. But then you might think, well, you know, David, filling of the Holy Spirit, that's for the D.L. Moody's and the, you know, and the Spurgeons of this world, and I'm just an ordinary Christian. You know, I don't feel up to this. You know, I feel a bit inadequate for it. Well, look at the end. Does it say, you know, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to super Christians? Does it say that? Does it say to those who have never sinned in the month of December? What does it say? How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to? Could that be you? Could that be you this morning? Those that ask. You know, in the Welsh revival, there was a prayer that was often prayed. We have it here on the screen. It says this, fill me, Holy Spirit, fill me. More than fullness I would know. I am smallest of thy vessels, yet I much can overflow. May that be our prayer this morning, that God would fill us. Do you want that to be your prayer? This Christmas time, are you full? Just going to come back to that. But I want to have up here, as we come into a time of response, just some simple words. Repent, ask, receive, and act. When it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe that we just need to make sure there's no unconfessed sin in our lives before God, that we repent of it, that we actually do turn from it. That will stop you being filled. Maybe for some here, even for many here, that's what's stopping you being filled today. Repent today. Turn from it. That sin is wrecking your life at the moment. Wrecking your relationship with God and with others. Repent. Turn from sin. Then ask. Say, Jesus, come, forgive me, cleanse me, but fill me with your spirit and receive then by faith his gift. He's just promised that he'd do that for you. And then act on it. And we've been seeing that one of the things, there's lots of things that sometimes spill out of our life, the fruit of the spirit, we haven't even got into all that, love, joy, peace, patience, you know, all that that acts out of it. But there's the speaking we've seen. Act and speaking. And maybe after this, there'll even be words you've got for the church, or you might think of something you need to say to a friend or a colleague. But act on that. Speak it. So let's now bow our heads, and maybe the bands can just come up. And what I want us to do is just take time on your own. I'm going to invite you now in your seat. Just hold your hands open before God. And let's have those four bullet points up for a while. And then we're going to have this little Welsh prayer up as well. And I want you to go through that. Repenting, asking, receiving by faith, acting. And then I'm going to pray the prayer, the Welsh prayer. And if that's a prayer you want to pray, you feel, yeah, that's my prayer. I'm praying, God, fill me today. I'm going to invite you to stand and pray that with me, okay? So let's just have a moment of quiet. The music's just going to play softly. But you're going to do business with God. This is you and him asking for his filling of your lives today. You might be just a visitor, you know, new to the things of God. I tell you what, be filled for the first time. Say, Jesus, I receive you. I want to be right with you. I want to have your spirit. But you might have been a Christian like John Bailey for many years. Today, receive again. Let's bow our heads and make sure we're right with him. Father, we repent of our sin. We repent of all in our lives which isn't under the rule of Christ, all which we claim still as self-rule. We repent. And we ask as a church for your forgiveness. We ask for ways we've not loved as you would have had us love. Forgive us. But Lord, we ask then for your filling. Send your Holy Spirit afresh, Lord. Person of yours that you give freely. We receive him. We receive him by faith, because your word says that you love to give him. And Lord, we pray, help us in our acting, in our speaking, in our living, that we would live by him and for him, that our lives would point to Jesus Christ.